Okay,
so we are in the middle of chapter 43, and we just finished discussing two levels of fear or awe of Hashem. One was a lower level of fear, comes from matters of the world, and we relate to Hashem in an external way. And then one was a higher level of fear of being conscious of who Hashem is. And at that space, a person totally loses their own separate existence. They don't feel like they're separate from Hashem. They realize that there's no other existence besides for Hashem. And when they realize that there's no other existence besides for Hashem, they take that personally. And they realize, me, I'm not a separate existence. I'm literally one with Hashem. And they have just totally surrendered within Hashem and lost all separate identity in a good way. Because what are they doing? They're actually surrendering to their own very essence. We think about it. Hashem is the essence of everything. And when a person totally surrenders, they're giving in to their deepest core, to Hashem. Now the Altar is going to talk about two levels of love. And we're going to start with the higher level of love. And you think like, wow, can this really be me? Can this be mine? Can this apply to me? And we have to remember the rule that the Alter Rebbe wrote Tanya, which is Sefer Shel Beinonim, the book of the intermediate person, the regular person, the ordinary person. And if you put it in the book, it means that it applies to us too. He doesn't go into very lengthy detail. He gives much more treatment to the lower level of love, Ahavas Eilam, but he speaks about it. And that means that we shouldn't write ourselves off. We shouldn't say like, no, this is not for me. Let's learn about it. Let's try to get something, a taste of it. And as we'll see, it's not something that we can actually acquire on our own. The higher level of love is called Ahava Rabba, a great love. The Rebbe Maharash writes about this kind of love. He explains the term Rabba. And he says, L'shein Rabba mashma she'ahava hi b'taykef v'rav hu ma'id. The term Rabba means that the love is powerful. It's tremendous. And that it is very great. So this is a very high level of love that a person cannot possibly get by themselves. Why? Because this kind of love is a love that has the feeling of Hashem already, where Hashem is shining within the person's soul. We're very limited. So as much as we meditate, we can't leave the framework of the physical world. We're stuck to this framework, which where we are present. This is our framework. This is what we know. We are stuck and limited to the physical world. If we're going to have a direct experience of the divine within ourselves, that it's literally vibing within us and we feel it and it resonates, it has to be from Hashem. And Hashem is the one who bridges that gap. So there's two levels, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. They're Ahava Rabba and Ahavas Eilam. The Alter Rebbe now explains that there are two general levels in the love of Hashem. The higher level is called Ahava Rabba, great love. It is a gift from above, granted to an individual after he has fully attained the level of Yira Ila'a. Yira Ila'a, we will remember, is the higher level of fear. This love is so lofty that one cannot hope to achieve it unaided. The second and lower level of love is attained by contemplating Hashem's greatness. It is called Ahavas Eilam, eternal love, and more literally, love of the world, because it emanates from one's contemplation of the world, meaning from one's appreciation of the godly life force that animates the world. V'hine, ba'ahava yesh gam kein shtei madregais, ahava rabba va'ahavas eilam. Now in love too, there are two grades, ahava rabba and ahavas eilam. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to describe the higher level of love. Ahava rabba hi ahava b'ta'anugim. Ahava rabba is a love of delight and ecstasy, a love of God which delights in Him. There is no other desire or goal present, such as the desire to cleave to Him or to expire in one's yearning for Him. The love itself is comprised purely of delight in Him and cleaving to Him. So this kind of love is called a love of delight. And here's a good place to talk about the difference between love and pleasure or delight. So what does it mean, love of delights? Well, let's think about the different kinds of love. The other kind of love that we're going to talk about is a love that's characterized by yearning, by longing. It means that the person and the thing that they wish for are distant from each other. And so the person craves and desires it. That's one kind of love, and that's love. Then there's pleasure or delight. Think about somebody who, and this is a very simple example, but wants a delicious exotic fruit. So until they have the fruit, they're desiring that delicious fruit. They're yearning for it. They're craving it. Now they are eating the fruit. At this point, they're not yearning for the fruit. They're delighting in the fruit. They're experiencing the fruit. So the fruit is becoming part of them. In the yearning, the most primary element is the person. Me, I want, I yearn, I desire. In the delight, the most primary element is the beloved thing. That is what's shining. The delight of the thing is now the main element here. So when somebody has Ahavaraba, 11 delights, this is how the Talmud, and the Rambam brings this down, describes the experience in the world to come. What are the souls doing there? The tzaddikim are sitting there. Their crowns are on their head. V'nehanin miziv hashchina. They're basking. They're taking pleasure in the radiance of the Shekhinah. They are experiencing the divine. They're no longer thirsting. They're no longer yearning. Now they have it. It's not, I want, I want, I want. It's, I have, I have. It's not something separate from me. It's something that's part of me. It's literally radiating within me. A person who has this level of Ahava Rabba, which they couldn't have gotten on their own, but came to them as a gift from above, and the Alter Rebbe will tell us what's the condition to get this kind of gift, no longer yearns and craves. They have. They're just delighting. Hashem is literally shining within their soul. They are experiencing Hashem. V'hi shal heves ha'ayla me'ilaha, and it is a fiery flame that rises of itself. Man does not create or kindle this love within himself. Rather, it comes forth spontaneously. Uva'a milmaila bivchinas matana, and it comes from above by way of a gift. So it's a spontaneous thing. A person couldn't have gotten it. It like rises of its own. It's a gift. But it doesn't mean that the person didn't have to do anything to deserve the gift. They had to have proper preparations, and then the gift comes to them. It's not random. It's like, oh, hey, her, let's give her Ahava Rabba today. No, no, no. There had to be special preparations that the person is now suitable to have this kind of love. L'mishu shalim b'yira, kanayda al-maimarazal, darkai shal ish l'chazer achar isha, she'ahava nikra ish v'zachar, k'maisha kasav zachar chastai. So it's a gift to he who is perfect in fear. As is known from the saying of the rabbis of blessed memory, it is the way of the man to search for the woman. And in spiritual terms, love is called man or male. As it is written, he has remembered his loving kindness. V'isha yiras Hashem kanaida, while a woman symbolizes fear of God, as is known. So the second letter of the verb zachar is vocalized with a patach. Changing this vowel to a kamatz makes it mean male, zachar. Thus, love is alluded to as male. So we're saying zachar chastai. This really means he remembered his kindness. But Kabbalistically speaking, this is an allusion to the fact that male is kindness. So the male is the right, it is chesed, and the left is the female, and it is gevura, which is fear.
So interesting.
Yeah, seems would the think opposite.
It is very interesting. And the truth is, this is a universal concept. Obviously, it all stems from the Torah and Kabbalah, that male is right and female is left. For example, in handwriting analysis, right represents the father, female represents the mother. In, you know, body science, where people are like trying to find the source of like the pain, they'll say that the left represents female, mother, right represents male, father. And if we look at it in Kabbalistic terms of Mashpia and Mekabel, the bestower and the receiver, which is male and female, biologically the male is the bestower and the woman is the receiver, it's this same concept of giving. Chesed is to give. And that is the male trait of giving. Gevura is not necessarily to receive, but if we think about it, it's about restraint, withholding. And let's look at the paradigm of Abraham and Sarah, where Abraham gave to everybody. Sarah, his wife, made sure that it went to the right place. She was very careful that Yitzchak would get what he needed. And in fact, the Talmud tells that there was, I think it was Rabbi Banai. He was going and marking the graves, finding the graves of the righteous people. And he found the grave of Abraham and Sarah. And he describes how Abraham was laying in Sarah's lap and she was combing his hair. And Kabbalistically speaking, she was making sure that all that he wanted to give went to the right places. So, you know, first we think like, you know, it's the female who is kind and the male who is strict, but not really. It's really the male. Of course, there's different kind of personalities, but the male personality is about giving, bestowing. The woman personality is about channeling, receiving. So here we're talking about how this gift of Ahava Rabba comes to a person. You couldn't earn it. It's not something that we could earn on our own. This is a gift of infinity. We're finite. To bridge that gap to the infinite is impossible. Hashem, the infinite one, had to bridge that gap. But what kind of preparation can we do to have that kind of gift? To be perfect in fear. And the Altar brings an allusion to this from the Talmud. The Talmud describes human relationships, that it's the way of a man to search for a woman. As much as society has progressed, this is the normal and natural way that a man should look for a woman. He should be the one to find her and ask her out. So what does that mean? It means that love, this Ahava Rabba, searches. So it comes by itself. It's the one going. It's the one searching. It's a gift. It searches, but only after a woman. After a woman is present. Who's the woman? Fear of Hashem. When fear of Hashem is present, then love for Hashem comes and circles, looks for it, finds it, comes, rests upon that person. So can we achieve this level on our own? No. But if we prepare ourselves properly by reaching this higher level of fear of Hashem, where we become conscious of the fact that there's nothing else besides Him, how the entire creation is literally like a word subsumed within the essence of the speaker and has never left Hashem, we realize that, we melt away in Him, we're in awe of Him from that place of surrender. Now we're a perfect vessel for this kind of delightful love to come to us as a gift. A love where we're literally just delighting in the intimacy of Hashem. He is shining within us and we are experiencing that delight. Now the author was going to explain why we need to have this kind of fear in order to have this kind of love. Uvali kedimas hayira iafshir lahagia la'ava rabba zay ki ava zay hi mibchinas atzilos. Delays taman kitzot uferid chas v'shalom. Without the prerequisite of fear, it is impossible to attain the level of Ahava Rabba. For this love originates from the realm of Atzilut, wherein there is no sundering or separateness, God forbid. In the world of Atzilus, nothing exists which is separate from godliness. Nothing at that level feels that exists independently of Hashem, and everything in Atzilus is totally nullified to godliness. Understandably, the love that emanates from such a level cannot light upon one whose fear of Hashem is imperfect and who still perceives himself as existing independently of Him. Complete self-abnegation is a prerequisite for this level of love. So the reason why we have to be in this mode of fear, just total surrender to Hashem, is because where does this love come from? It comes from the world of Atzilus. Atzilus, as Alter Rebbe says later on in Tanya, is not really a world. It's godliness itself. Everything about that world is totally unified with Hashem. The Alter Rebbe writes in Igeres HaKadosh Shimon Chaf, quoting from the Zohar, Ihu v'chayayhi chad, ihu v'garmayhi chad. He and his life-giving emanations, which are the lights, are one. He and his causations, which are the vessels, are one. The lights, the vessels, everything about the world of Atzilus is totally fused with Hashem. This love of delights comes from that world, the world of Atzilus. If a person feels themselves to be a separate existence than Hashem, then they don't have the right combination code to get this kind of love. That love can't rest on someone who still feels themselves to be independent. It can only come to someone who has become cognizant of the truth and melts away in the truth that there's nothing else besides Hashem. Look, we're sitting in a room right now. It is full of radio waves. So let me ask you, well, which station are you listening to right now? None. We can't. Why? Because we don't have an antenna. As soon as we have an antenna, we can tune into that frequency. So we want to have love of delights, but we're still thinking like, hey, I'm me, and yeah, there's Hashem, and of course he's great, and I want to serve him, but you know, I'm an existence for myself. Sorry. You can't feel that kind of love in that space. This kind of love is an Atzilus love. This is a love that's one with Hashem. If a person feels themselves that they're separate from Hashem, they're just not channeling in. They're not tuning in to the right frequency. So this kind of love only comes to someone who already experiences the higher level of fear. So we just finished discussing the first level of love, which is the higher level of love, and that's Ahava Rabbah. It's a love that comes as a gift from above. It's a love of delights. And it comes to someone who is perfect in fear. Like the Talmud says, the way of man, which is love, which is kindness, is to search after a woman, which is fear, which is gevura. Why? Because this love comes from the world of Atzilus, whereas there is no separation. And in order to be in the space to receive it, you can't feel any separation. Now we're going to talk about the lower level of love. And it's very different than the higher level of love. The higher level of love can't come by our own efforts. It only comes as a gift. The higher level of love is not a yearning. It's a delight. And also, it only comes to someone who is already perfect in fear. The lower level of love, on the other hand, comes specifically through effort. We have to work in order to get the lower level of love. It also is not characterized by delight. It's characterized by longing, by yearning, something that I want because I don't have it yet. And furthermore, not only can it come to somebody who doesn't have the higher level of fear, in certain situations, the lower level of love can come to somebody who has no fear at all, even a completely wicked person and a sinner. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is going to tell us about right now, the lower level of love, Ahavas Olam. Ach Ahavas Olam, hi haba'a mehatvuna vada'as begdulas Hashem ein seif baruchu. Ahavas Olam, however, the second and lower level of love, is that which comes from the understanding and knowledge of the greatness of Hashem, the blessed ein seif. So where does this love come from? It comes from a knowledge and da'as of Hashem. Da'as is not just like a passing thought like we discussed last chapter. Da'as is focused meditation. How does this apply to me? So somebody is meditating upon the greatness of Hashem. This is how they're arousing Ahavas Olam, the love of the worlds. What does that mean, love of the worlds? It's a love that comes from us thinking about things about the world that the Alter Rebbe is going to describe to us here. And the reason is because in order for us to relate to something that's way beyond us, we first have to find a way where we relate to it. We don't have what it takes to tune into spirituality right away. We have to tune into what we know and from there try to understand what does that mean in the higher realms. You know, like when the prophets are talking about angels and they talk about winged creature, angels don't have wings, they don't have feet, but that's the way that the prophet described it to us so we can understand it in our terms. We want to understand something about Hashem. First, we have to understand something about the world. When we start understanding something about the world, that's when we can start understanding something about Hashem. There's a great analogy by Rav Yitzchak Ginzburg. He has a book called The Art of Education, and he talks about how to meet someone in their world. You know, if you want to really educate someone, you can't just come and talk when you don't know where they're holding. He says, if you want to give somebody directions to Miami, you got to know, where are they starting from? Is your point of origination Los Angeles or is your point of origination Singapore? You have to meet them in their space. Right now, we're talking about a physical world. We're physical beings experiencing a physical world. In order for us to understand something about Hashem, we first have to start out with matters of the world. So that's what we're looking at right now. We really have to focus with Da'as. Da'as is very different than the other intellectual capacities that we have. There's Chachma, which is that flash of inspiration. There's Bina, which is cogitation, working out the details. And then there's Da'as, application. Manitz Friedman gives an excellent example of the difference between Chachma, Bina, and Da'as. It says like this. Let's say you're the teacher, right? And you start speaking to your students, and there's that one student that every time you have a new idea, his eyes light up. That's your Chachma student. He loves new ideas. He loves flashes of inspiration. That's what gets him going. Then you have another student. And every time you have a new idea, he wants to know, well, how does it apply to this situation? And how does it apply to that situation? That's your Bina student. He's taking what you taught him and trying to apply it. And then you have your rare student. You have your Da'a student. Your Da'a student walked into class one way, and he leaves class another way. Because what you said in class, he wanted to know, how does this apply to me? That's Da'as. It's not just getting excited about ideas. It's how does this apply to me? So somebody who wants to attain this level of Ahavas Olam has to meditate. And not just meditate, but in a way of Da'as. How does this apply to me? You know, it's a very interesting idea. We have this mitzvah to love Hashem. So for sure, the mitzvah to love Hashem can apply to Ahava Rabbah, the one that comes as a gift from above, because if you can't do anything to get it, if you can't directly earn it, then that's not the mitzvah. So the mitzvah has to apply to Ahavas Olam, the worldly love. But how can you command someone to love? It's a feeling. Either you love or you don't love. But if you look at the works of the Rambam, how he describes the way to love the Creator by meditating upon him. And similarly, the Maggid of Mezrich says, the mitzvah to love Hashem is to meditate upon those things which will bring you to love him. So to command a feeling, you can't command a feeling, but you can command an action. Meditate upon those things about Hashem that will make you love him, and you're gonna come to love him. And it's a good tip to have in human relationships as well. You're committed. Now you're committed to love. What does it mean, committed to love? Love is a feeling. You are committed to see the good in the other person. You are committed to always find those things in your spouse, in your children, that's going to remind you to love them. And so that's how it is, of course, with Hashem. Commandment to love Hashem? Yes, we have to think about those things that make us love him. And the altar is now going to describe what are these things that make us love Hashem. Hamimali Kol Omen, who fills all worlds, animating them with a permeating mode of vitality, which is limited and tailored to the capacity of each creature. Visaviv Kol Omen, and encompasses all worlds, animating them with a vitality which transcends them, not being limited by the worlds and created beings it animates. So this is a basic doctrine in Kabbalah, these two lights of Hashem that bring all of creation into existence, that animate creation. There's that Or HaMemale, that permeating light, which is tailor-suited to the world and the creatures. This kind of light literally has a relationship with the vessel, and so it's diminished according to the vessel that it animates. The example given is the soul filling the body. The Midrash says, Ma ha-nefesh memala es haguf, just as the soul fills the body, so does Hashem fill his world. How does the soul fill the body? It's not like this, water in a cup. There's the water and there's the cup, and the water happens to be in the cup. No, the soul pervades the body so that every part of the body is fused with the soul and expresses the soul. This is the light which fills all worlds. It is tailor-suited to each creation, to each world, to suit its capacities and to have an intimate relationship with it. Then there's another kind of light. It's called Saivev Kol Almin, surrounds all worlds. It's not because it is actually surrounding. The Alter writes later on in Tanya, it is very much present in every world. Why is it called surrounding? Because it remains aloof. We don't realize it. It is so beyond every world that while it's fully present, we can't feel it. The light which pervades us actually gives us our character. We feel it. The light which surrounds us doesn't actually surround us. It even brings us into existence. But it is so aloof from us that we cannot grasp it and get a hold on it. Not only can't we grasp it or get a hold on it, even the world of Atzilus cannot. And that's why it is fully present to the same extent in every world. When we're talking about Orhamamali, there's levels. Higher worlds get more amounts of light. Lower worlds get contracted amounts of light. When it comes to Saiviv, every world is equal, fully present in every world. There's a great saying by the Rav of Chernigov. This was the Av Basin of Chernigov, Rabbi David Tzvi Chen. He expresses the character of this Or HaSaiviv. He says, Dart vu'edokait is kein klinit, is grub kein stirinit. There, where refinement is not a vessel, coarseness is not a contradiction. So no matter how refined a world is, it can't hold that light of Saiviv. It is so beyond the worlds, refinement is not even a vessel for it. Refinement is not a vessel, well then guess what? Coarseness is not a contradiction. Nothing can contain it. It is perfectly present in every world. So we're trying to achieve ahavas ilam, worldly love, the love that comes by our own efforts. What do? We think about Hashem with focus, how it applies to me. Hashem is so great, He fills all worlds. Could you imagine? From the tiniest cell to the greatest galaxies, Hashem fully permeates all of those. Each one tailor-suited to its nature and character, giving it life, bringing it into existence. Furthermore, He's so beyond them, He brings them into existence for a way of encompassing that they cannot even detect that light that is giving them life. Just to sit with that thought makes us astounded. If we think about the vastness of creation and Hashem's intimate knowledge of all of it, and that He brings it all into existence, really, really sit with that thought, it makes our heart long for Him. We want to be attached to Him. This is Ahavas Ilam. Now the Alter Rebbe takes the meditation a step further. V'chula kame kula mamish chashev. And before whom everything is accounted as nothing at all. So you can start off and say, okay, Hashem is so great, compared to Him, the world is nothing at all. That's not enough. That doesn't get you excited. First, we have to think about the vastness of His creation, how He fills all worlds, surrounds all worlds, get astounded from that, and then realize, compared to Him, it is all nothing. After we think about the vastness of creation and then think about how everything is nothing, that is astounding. Like the nullity of one utterance within the intelligent soul while it is still in the thought or in the desire of the heart, as has been explained earlier. So why is the world like nothing? Because of this concept that we keep visiting again and again from chapters 20 and 21, and that is that the whole creation is just a word of Hashem. And a word of Hashem compared to its speaker, when you trace it back to where it came from His intellect, from His emotions, at that space, the word doesn't exist. Us, when we speak, the word becomes a separate existence. It leaves us. Hashem, it never leaves Him. So this word that He spoke is still within Him in a place that it doesn't exist. And you can think these concepts are so high and so lofty. Is it really for me to try to get it? Can I really get it? Can I come to a place where I will recognize that the entire creation is but a word of Hashem and it's null in its source? The Mittler Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe's son, wrote in his introduction to his book Imrei Bina that this concept of Achdus Hashem, knowing the oneness of Hashem and realizing that there's nothing else besides Him, was his father's soul's mission. That's the Alter Rebbe's mission. That's what he took upon himself every time he spoke to people, every time he spoke to the crowds, when he made a Shabbos drasha, when he spoke individually to unique individuals. This was his goal, that a person should understand Achdus Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, come to the realization that there's no other existence besides Him. He said, it doesn't matter on your level of education. It doesn't matter on your level of intellectual capacity. Nobody is exempted from trying to get this idea. And he said, if you're starting to have feelings of false humility and say, you know what, this is beyond me, I have to know my place and this is not for me, you should know that this is the work of your Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination, trying to cheat you out of the experience that your soul can have in Torah and mitzvahs. Our soul's experience in Torah and mitzvahs completely changes when we realize that there's nothing else besides Hashem. It also helps us realize what Torah is and what a mitzvah is, that it really is the essence of Hashem. So here we're trying to get this ahavas ilam, this worldly love. And we're focusing on ideas that make us realize the greatness of Hashem, how he fills all worlds, he surrounds all worlds, and everything is really nothing before him, like the nullity of one word within the intelligent soul while it's still in the thought or desire of the heart. Asher al yidei his bainanes zay, memela tispashit midas ha'ava shebanefesh milvusheha. As a result of such contemplation, the attribute of love, which is in the soul, will as a matter of course divest itself of its garments, which it had previously worn. So this is a really interesting concept. Let's say you're someone who loves wisdom. All you want to do is get wiser and wiser still. You just want to learn more and more and more. You realize that wisdom is amazing. Does that mean that now that you love wisdom so much, you don't like chocolate cake? No, right? It's not a contradiction. You love wisdom, but hey, chocolate cake is good. Here, it's very different. The Alter Rebbe says that by having this kind of meditation, a person will no longer crave anything else besides Hashem. Love is a simple power in the soul. When somebody loves something, their love now clothes itself in that something that they love. Garments, clothing, are an expression. It means the way the soul is expressing itself. Love is a simple quality of the soul. As soon as it loves something, it is now garbing itself, vesting itself in this object of love. If a person loves something, they can also love something else. But the Alter Rebbe is going to explain that when it comes to love of Hashem, a person truly achieves this kind of love, they no longer love anything else. All they love is Hashem. This means to say that the individual will cease loving those things which he had previously loved, this love having previously led him to vest himself in those things, and all his love will be directed to Hashem alone.
How does that work with relationships?
Well, if you really think about it, a person who loves Hashem is somebody who truly loves his fellow Jew. Because, you know, actually they were arguing about this. Chassidim were arguing about this. They didn't know. What's more important, love of Hashem or love of a fellow Jew? And some people said love of Hashem is more important. And some people said love of a fellow Jew is important. And they finally brought it to the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe said both love of Hashem and love of a fellow Jew are ingrained within the soul. It says, Ahavti eschem, amar Hashem. Hashem said, I have loved you. And then he concluded that love of a fellow Jew is greater because you're loving what your beloved loves. So Hashem loves Jews. When we love Jews, we're loving what Hashem loves, and that makes Hashem happy. Dehainu shaloi sislabish b'shum dvar hana'a v'sayinu gashmi ayruchni la'ava aysay v'loi lachpait klal shum davar ba'aylam. Meaning it will not clothe itself in anything of pleasure or enjoyment, whether physical or spiritual, to love it, and will not desire anything whatsoever in the world. So here is this simple power of love that a person has. A normal person loves a lot of different things. They love their morning jog, they love their tea, their coffee, their house, they love all these different kind of things. They love wisdom, they love a great discussion. It doesn't take them away from loving other things. They have many different tastes and variety of tastes. This is very different. A person who comes to love Hashem realizes something, and the Alter Rebbe is going to spell it out what they realize. They realize something, and this realization brings them to no longer clothe their power of love in any kind of pleasure, not a physical pleasure and not a spiritual pleasure. And people think of spirituality, they think it means holy. Spirituality doesn't necessarily mean holy. Spirituality means something that can't be taken in by the senses. It's not like food that you taste with your palate. You know, it's an appreciation. Even though, let's say, music is something that we take in with our sense of hearing, but we would consider that more of a spiritual appreciation. Intellect. Spiritual appreciation. And here a person no longer craves all these things, and all they crave is Bilti Lahashem Levade Mikor HaChaim Shel Kol HaTa'anugim. other than Hashem alone, the source of the vitality of all enjoyments. So they come to realize like this. Hashem is the source of life for all these pleasures in the world. Somebody who stops short at chocolate cake is like somebody who stops short at the chocolate wrapper instead of the chocolate. That's the example that Rabbi Steinsaltz gives. And he says like this, you know, some people have very limited ambitions. They are not so desirous. So they're happy with a little bit of money. Some people want more. They want more than that. And some people, all the gold and silver in the world is not enough for them. A person who has attained this level of enjoyment, where this level of love, where all they want is Hashem, isn't somebody who has become less passionate. It is somebody who has become more passionate. Look at a little kid. This happens throughout life, right? A little kid craves race cars. Now he's an adult. Doesn't crave race cars. He craves money and respect. Is he less desirous? He doesn't crave race cars anymore. No, actually, he's possibly more desirous, just of bigger and better things. He says, somebody who is desirous of wealth, immorality, idol worship, is not because he can't get enough and he's content only with a lot. He actually is somebody who is content with a little. He's desiring pseudo pleasures. He's not desiring the pleasure itself. It's not about saying, no, I'm going to pull myself away from the chocolate cake. No, I forget about the Tesla. It's not about that. It's like, 1 second. The ultimate pleasure is Hashem. My soul came down here yearning for him. And then in this physical body, it starts yearning for things that are so less than, but doesn't realize that. No, the chocolate wrapper, spit it out. You wouldn't need a chocolate wrapper. All these things that we're chasing after, it's not because we want so much. No, it's because we want so little. As soon as a person becomes cognizant of the fact that everything is nothing before Hashem, he is the source of it all, and they have no value or significance, then their love has now been pulled away from all these fake pleasures and has become so desirous, only wanting the truest pleasure. There's a great article on Chabad.org by Shifra Hendry. I think it's called Cookies and Apples, The Kabbalah of Addiction. And she talks about how when a person eats a chocolate cookie, they're never just happy with one. They want another one. Why? You just had a cookie. Why do you want another cookie? Think about why a person wants a cookie. They want a cookie because their body craves nutrients. Are those nutrients in the cookie? No, not really. So they ate one cookie and it just didn't work. Let's get another cookie. She says, you can never get enough of what you don't really want. But then there's the apple. Have you ever seen someone just like stuffing their face with apples? I can't get enough. I need another apple. No, because what were they looking for in the apple? They were looking for fiber, for vitamins, all these great things the apple had for them. So they ate it, and they got what they were looking for. Jewish people are so passionate. Why are we so passionate? Because we desire the infinite love. Nothing's gonna do it for us. You know, for some people out there, they'll eat a good steak, they'll relax, they'll smile. That was great. A Jew is never just happy with a good steak. Why not? Because we yearn for the infinite. And we keep trying to quell that desire and satisfy it with silly little things that have no value. Once we start to realize that the source of all pleasures is Hashem himself, now we no longer desire those things, not because we've become less desirous, but because we've become more desirous. We want nothing less than the best. Rabbi Steinsaltz brings an interpretation from the Mishnah. Talks about, you know, Chavav Adam Shenivra Betzalem. Mankind is great because he was created in the image of Hashem. And then Jewish people are great because they are called children of Hashem. And then it says, Chavivin Yisrael Shenitan Lahem Kli Chemda. The Jewish people are cherished because a desirous vessel has been given to them. And the desirous vessel, as the Mishnah continues in the Torah, Shenemar, Kilekach Tayim Nasati Lechem Tayrasi Al Ta'azevu, describing the Torah. But there's a way of interpreting the Mishnah like this. The Jewish people are cherished, they are beloved, because they were given a vessel. And that vessel is desire. Jewish people have a very strong desire. We have to be careful not to try to fill that vessel of desire with pseudo pleasures. We have to remember that all pleasures come from the ultimate pleasure, and that is Hashem. Shekulam b'telam b'metzios u'cholam mamish kamei chashiveh v'ein arech v'dimyein klal b'neihem chas v'shalom k'may she'ein arech la'ayin v'efes ha'muchlat l'gabi chayim nitzchiyim. For they are all nullified in reality and are accounted as nothing at all compared with him, there being no manner of comparison or similitude between them, God forbid, between all worldly pleasures and Hashem, the source of all vitality of all pleasures, just as there is no comparison between that which is absolutely not a nothing and everlasting life. So we're trying to think, well, what did I really want? I really wanted that amazing watch. Okay, I really desire that. Let's try to compare that to Hashem. Does that sound ridiculous? How could you compare that to Hashem? It has the value of nothing compared to eternal life. You can't even put them on the table together. There's no comparison. Hashem is the source of all pleasures. Why would I desire a pseudo pleasure? Why would I desire something that has no independent value or significance, loses all value before Hashem? I wouldn't. The illustration given is the drop and the ocean. And we brought that up a few times at class, and we've said each time it's not truly accurate because, after all, the ocean is made up of myriads and myriads and myriads of tiny drops of water. But the Alter Rebbe in a Maamar in Lakotei Torah Shir HaShirim says, compare the one drop to the ocean if, theoretically, the ocean would be infinite. Now you really cannot compare this drop of water to an ocean which is infinite. There is no comparison. But first we actually have to try to imagine that drop of water, even for the limited ocean. You know, I once heard someone talk about two guys who were talking. One of them said, I thought about it, and what is the world already? The world is just a small town. The other guy looks at him and says, what? How dare you say the world is a small town? The world is nothing. And he said, oh yeah? Did you ever really think about it enough so you can at least come to the conclusion that the world is a small town? Like, take the example of the drop in the ocean. You could say, come on, after all, there is a comparison between the drop and the ocean. One second. Did you ever stop to imagine how many drops it would take just to fill the room? Just to fill the room, we would be astounded at how many drops it takes. Now, try to imagine that one tiny drop compared to the world's waters. Your heart will go crazy. Now, we're talking about not compared to the world's waters, compared to infinite waters. You just cannot compare. So a person who has done the meditation properly and realizes that Hashem fills all worlds, surrounds all worlds, and everything is like nothing before him, now his simple power of love is no longer vested in all the pleasures of the world. It realizes that all the pleasures of the world amount to nothing. How could you compare nothing with infinite life? How could you compare nothing with the source of all pleasures? The person now has not become less desirous. They have become more desirous. They want nothing but Hashem himself. Reflecting on this matter will lead the person to desire Hashem alone and not to desire any worldly pleasures at all, seeking as he will the source of all pleasures, which is godliness. As it is written, whom am I in heaven to love other than Hashem? The verse goes on to say, and there is nothing upon earth that I desire with you. This means to say anything with you that is subjugated and nullified to God is not desired as well. So David HaMelech says unto him, who do I have with you in heaven and what do I desire with you on earth? Heaven represents spiritual pleasures. Earth represents physical pleasures. Saying, after I think about this and I know your greatness, I don't want any other pleasure, not a spiritual heavenly pleasure, not a lowly worldly pleasure. I want nothing besides you. There was a chassid, Reb Moshe Vilenkin, who was from the great students of the Alter Rebbe. He described one of the chassidic discourses that he heard from the Rebbe. He wasn't able to be at the table, so he was under the table and he had plenty of space and they were passing him drink and food. When the Alter Rebbe started to speak words of Torah, he got close to the Alter Rebbe's ankles so he can listen. In the middle of the mimer, the Alter Rebbe fell underneath the table. The Alter Rebbe used to get so ecstatic during teaching Torah, during davening, they used to have to cushion the walls because he would bruise himself. You could think someone of such profound intellect, but what his heart had to contain, knowing what he knew. And the Alter Rebbe said like this, I want simple unity. Who do I have in heaven? I don't want Gan Eden Ha'elyon, the higher Gan Eden. V'im chalei chafasi ba'aretz, what I desire nothing on earth with you, the lower Gan Eden. I just want you alone. This is what he's saying when he fell underneath the table in ecstasy. He's saying, what do I want? I don't want heavens. I don't want earth. All I want is you. I would have left a long time ago. It's just Torah and mitzvahs that give me strength. And if you think about it, Torah and mitzvahs are an experience of the essence of Hashem, and that's available only in this world. So the author was saying, what do I want? I don't want your Gan Eden, your higher Gan Eden. I don't want your lower Gan Eden. I want you. Torah and mitzvahs gives me the strength. So, Kala She'eri Ulavavi, Tur Lavavi V'gaymer, Chamayi Shishis Be'er L'kaman. The next verse continues, my flesh and my heart yearn for you, rock of my heart, as the various levels of love a Jew may attain by contemplating Hashem's greatness will be explained later. So let's wrap up what we said until now in class, and we are talking about two levels of love. One is a very high level of love. It's Ahava Rabba. That comes only as a gift from above. It comes to someone who has achieved perfection, higher level of fear, where they don't see themselves as a separate existence. Then there's a lower level of love. Unlike the first level of love, it's not a love of delights. Unlike the first level of love, it's not a gift. It comes by effort. And unlike the first level of love, it doesn't require fear first. And this is Ahavas Olam, contemplating Hashem's greatness in a way of da'as, that it really applies to me. Thinking about how Hashem fills all worlds, how He surrounds all worlds, and everything is literally nothing before Hashem. When a person is in this space, their soul is divested of all other pleasure. They want the real pleasure. All they want is Hashem, because how can you compare absolute not and nothingness with eternal life? A person reaches this space, they say, Mili v'ashamayim v'im chalei chafatzi v'aretz. Who do I have with you in heaven and I want nothing with you on earth? All I want is you. My soul longs for you. So, to be continued, Bezrat Hashem. Next class, we're going to discuss someone who is an apathetic person, doesn't have feelings. It's not like they don't love Hashem. They actually don't love anything. They don't even love chocolate cake. Can a person like that attain this kind of love for Hashem?